This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Hi again, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings, Appointed Listening. So glad that you're with us. We have a lot of great things to cover with you this weekend, and joining us now is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He founded Ripple Connects. I don't recall. How many years ago has it been now, Joe McKenzie?
It's almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago, and you turn candidates into contenders. You can reach Joe McKenzie at 763-438-1621. Hello, and welcome back, Mr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And look, this is our time to delve into the book, Words to the Wise. Where are you taking us this week?
Well, as always, I take a page and I spend 3-4 days reflecting upon it. And it's been very helpful for me in my career. So thank you, Freddie. This daily affirmation turns into a project or just kind of that thought process for me to, okay, maybe I've got to, this week, trust your instincts, the knowing. Mm-hmm. And those are your words to the wise. And I often think about how I've made good career decisions and I've made not so good career decisions. When I think about it, Freddie, I've trusted my instincts more than I can count. But there are times where I leaped when I didn't give it as much thought and didn't feel like I knew enough. And that did result in sometimes and not a great career move, but my instincts, I think I've developed them over the years, Freddie, for, the type of culture, the type of people I want to work with, the type of mission I want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And I've used that in my career to help me make good decisions. How have you utilized, trusting your instincts in your career?
Well, it becomes a process, much like what you're talking about. We hear the word meditate. And when we think about meditating, I think for some it brings up the vision of a Buddha, and you're sitting cross-legged with your hands pressed together, eyes tightly shut, and you're blocking out the world. That's a form of it. But I think the intuition has to be cultivated. Your instinct has to be cultivated. It's like, every spring, we were talking about spring last week when we got together. That at beginning of springtime, and I'm thinking about baseball, what do professional teams always do at the beginning of a season?
They train. They train. They hone their skills that they may have lost over the winter.
That's right. They go back to the basics. And that's a lot of what we should be doing or think about anyway with regard to developing our instinct. We go back to the basics. You mentioned meditating. So maybe we've developed the skill of meditating over time. Maybe we're new to it. But the idea is to hold that thought, whatever it is in your mind of a positive nature, toward the goal of whatever it is that you're seeking. And so in that way, it helps you to develop the instinct. Your mind is open. You're open and receptive to the ideas that come to you. And then it makes it easier for you to take a chance on following on your gut, that knowing. And I figured out over time, Joe, that the instinct, it doesn't necessarily just hit you once. You can define it pretty easily when that same thought keeps coming again and again and again. And it's so persistent that you begin to know that that this is the right path to take or the right person to contact or the right move to make. Whether it's your career or just simply just trying to get along in life.
Mm-hmm. So taking that time, and if that same thought keeps coming back, and you're keeping this in a positive light, you're looking at a new career move or an opportunity you want to seize, and you have that same thought that's reoccurring because you're allowing yourself time to to meditate, to reflect, to let it, absorb. And that's what you learn about yourself in, from your previous career decisions using your instincts, right? That's kind of what I hear you saying.
Exactly.
That's the process you follow that's worked for you.
You've been through a lot of things over time. Some people are just getting out of college. There are people who are more seasoned. And we bring with us, no matter where we are, we bring with us our experiences. And in those experiences, we can find a lot of ways to run from something, a lot of reasons to avoid something. But the pathway toward a goal is a bit more narrow. And while you have all these signposts when you're trying to run that say, danger, 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 don't you do this, this could happen, there are fewer that tell us that we're on the right path. And because there are fewer, they become to be more repetitive. You hear those thoughts, those intuitions over and over and over again. The other thing I would say, this is springtime, I would say spend time outside, physically outside, whether it's 15 minutes, 10 minutes, but if you do it proactively with the idea of getting in touch with yourself, getting in touch with the universe, that is so valuable, Joe McKenzie.
Yeah, and that's taking a long walk, not, being in front of a screen, just, absorbing that vitamin D from the sun, seeing something that's puts you in a relaxed state to help you with that positive thought process that you have going. You're absolutely right, Freddie. And I think, maybe that is the simplest way for somebody today to start realizing I have been doing that, or I have to carve out more time. I have to allow to hold that thought. And why is it coming? And the question, why does it keep coming back to me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is something that's you sharing that today. I think, someone hearing that probably has experienced that before.
It's really interesting. We spend a lot of time, we make appointments, we fill up our calendar to be on somebody else's schedule, but we rarely spend that time and make appointments with ourselves to spend even 15 minutes. We'll spend 30 minutes with someone, we'll spend an hour with someone, but you end up the day and you end up the week and you haven't spent meaningful time with yourself. And you mentioned it, that was my next point, do a technology fast. Turn off the phone. Even, it's amazing. Even if it's only 15 minutes of being divorced from your phone, your technology, your computer, your iPad, your Google Docs, and all the rest of it, it really forces you to be in touch with yourself. And then when you're in touch with yourself, my last idea is just to ask your intuition a question. Is this the right way? What is the best path for me? What will happen when I do this? And just sit and wait for the answer. And the answer always comes. It's mm-hmm. not a big like newspaper flashes or a big banner on a smartphone or what have you, but it comes and is really clear because, as I mentioned at the outset, you get that repetitive message over and over and over again.
See, that is very helpful. It was helpful for me 4 years ago when I was looking to take over a nonprofit and I came to you, but only after a few weeks of thinking about this opportunity and reflecting upon that opportunity. And I think I came to you in a state of my thought process was, this is going to be a good experience for me. This is going to be a challenge for me. And I remember sitting down with you in your office and you said, Joe, I think you've made your decision. I can just feel it that you've given enough thought to this. And here I am 4 years later, not regretting taking that opportunity and feeling proud that I accomplished things that even just 4 years ago, I didn't think I could. And so when you framed it that way, Freddie, I started to think about 4 years ago before I came to you. And you're right. I think I had made up my mind, but only after a couple of weeks of really thinking about what am I going to gain from this? What's the best path for me? The best path for Joe McKenzie was to gain this valuable experience and to challenge myself with something new. And I have no regrets. So I just want to thank you. You were that one person.
Wow.
That I turned to. And I remember you, I was sitting down in your office and you just said, I think you've given it enough thought and I think your instincts are telling you the right direction.
Well, bravo, and thank you for that. Unexpected, but I'm really excited for you, Joe. And before we have to leave, I'll just reiterate the points, and I'll add one more to think about. Number one, meditate a little bit, not necessarily with a meditation, but reflect. Spend some time outside in the outdoors, whether, you know, we could get another cold snap, who knows, but spend some time outside, 5, 10, 15 minutes. Turn off the technology for 10 or 15 minutes, two or three times a week, and trust, ask your intuition a question. Which is the best way? Be really intentional about asking that question, and then count your blessings by just writing down, just journaling, writing down where you've gone, where you intend to go, and then close it. You don't even have to look at it again, but something happens magically. I call it magically when you write down what's going on in your mind, even if it's just a couple of notes, wonderful things start to happen and you become even more intuitive. Unfortunately, Joe, we have to leave it right there. Do you have a final thought?
I just want to thank you for giving me the book that has allowed me to refine some of the things that you helped me with a few years ago, but just something that I can use daily and then share it with the New Beginnings listeners, I think is important because we've all been there and we have to know how to trust our instincts. And how do we do that?
All right, Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings. Thank you for joining us. Time to get a little smarter. Here are four things that you probably didn't know yesterday. The world's smallest mammal is the bumblebee bat, also known as Kitty's hognose bat. It weighs about 2 grams and measures just over an inch in length. Number two, the letter Q is the only letter in the alphabet that does not appear in the name of any of the United States. Go check it out. Number three, the average person's kidneys filter about 180 liters of blood per day. And number four, in 2018, the residents of a tiny Welsh village were so exasperated with their feeble internet connection, they came together to dig 15 miles of trenches to lay their own super-fast cables. Four things that you probably didn't know yesterday. And those of us looking for love may find inspiration in a Tampa Bay couple. Dr. Thomas McMeekin and Nancy Gamble met in high school in California, dated in college, broke up, and went their separate ways. Over 60 years later, McMeekin reconnected with Gamble, who lives in California. Just a few weeks ago, she flew to Tampa International Airport to see him, and he got down on one knee and asked her to marry him. She said yes, and now they're planning a new life together in California. The 78-year-old McMeekin says to find love again at his age is just incredible, and he encourages others to have hope because there's always a chance. And Bud Light is now selling for less than water in some American warehouses. A warehouse in Pennsylvania says a 30-pack of Bud Light was $9. The manager says that he has cases of water that cost more. This comes after the Bud Light commercial featuring transgender activist Dylan McVaney led to some customers boycotting the brand. Before the controversy, Bud Light was the top-selling beer in the United States, but now sales have dropped nearly 30%. And a study says drinking 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day is linked to a longer lifespan and lower risk of cardiovascular disease, regardless of whether it's caffeinated or decaf, ground or instant. The study analyzed nearly 500,000 British adults over a 10-year period and found that coffee drinkers had a slightly lower risk of death than abstainers. And finally, Wednesday is the most depressing day. Mondays can break out the champagne in celebration after receiving vindication with research that suggests Wednesdays actually hold the title of most depressing day of the week. But despite predicted mood swings based on the day of the week, the researchers also discovered moods remained about the same throughout the week. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. Joining us right now is Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. And she's talking today about strategies to help enhance your job search. And quite frankly, Kathy, I did not realize that AARP Minnesota helps in that regard. Can you explain?
Sure. Well, hey, Freddie, thank you for having me. Sure, appreciate it. You know, the way we search for and interview jobs has just changed dramatically, certainly since the pandemic, but I think overall. And if you haven't, if you've been in the same industry for a long time or you haven't been on the job market for a while, you might be a little shocked to find out what folks are looking for in a resume, how they do the interviews, all of those kinds of things. And fortunately, AARP has some resources available to help folks do that.
So what do you have that's most immediate that our listeners and your membership can tap into?
Well, coming up in May, we have four opportunities for folks to participate in a workshop, a couple different places across the city and one online. Different tips for how you can maybe reframe any gapsthat are in your resume, how to ace your interview, how to make an impact on your online job applications. You know, lots of folks are on the various, you know, professional networking sites or job sites, and it can be really discouraging to see that maybe 300 people have applied for a job that you're interested in applying for. And so knowing how to really network well, hone your interviewing skills, and how to make that impact when you apply for a job online is really important.
So, Kathy, are these opportunities, are these where you sit and you just listen to the instructor go on for a half an hour or so?
Well, they're great discussion opportunities, right? So you can connect with fellow job seekers, do some networking. They help you prepare for those tough interview questions and, you know, better understand how your work experience might be able to open some doors.
Everyone, we're talking with Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director, and she's telling us about strategies to help us to enhance our job search. Do you find that your memberships are telling you that when they're reached 50 years old, that is more competitive or at the very least more difficult to reintegrate or to change or leverage up in their career path?
Yes. So, I mean, we know from our research and from what our members are telling us that if you lose a job after 50, it is exponentially more difficult and it takes you much, much longer to get rehired. I think it's also difficult, even if you have a current job and you're just looking to change careers, particularly if you are looking for a complete career change, trying to figure out how your skill set and your experience might translate into that new role. And so these workshops can really help, you know, get advice on how to build your career or use those tools that help find out who's hiring.
When is the first workshop and where might it be? Can you list those for us?
I sure can. So May 11th from 4 to 6 p.m., it'll take place at the Hallie Q. Brown Community Center in St. Paul. May 17th, there's one from noon to 2 at the Richfield Community Center. There's one online on May 17th from 6 to 7 p.m. And then on May 24th, one more starting at 11:30 a.m. at the Columbia Heights Public Library. So lots of different locations to plug in.
What's the cost for these workshops, Kathy McClear?
These are absolutely free. They're free, they're interactive, and it's a great opportunity just to hone your skills and get some new strategies.
You know, I've been around you long enough that I know that there's probably registration involved. Is that the same for these?
Yep, absolutely. So there's a couple of different places. And if you just want to learn a little bit more about the job search in this particular age, you can go to aarp.org/work. Or you can always go for more information to aarp.org/MN.
Thank you, Kathy. Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director, talking about enhancing your job search. And this is New Beginnings. Just for fun, on the lighter side this week on New Beginnings, a seal pup went surfing and the drone video of this cuteness has gone viral. The baby seal shows up in San Diego's Pacific Beach on Saturday. It then starts riding the waves on various surfboards. And even when they're resting, this little guy just pops up and hangs on out on the circle of the surfboards. Folks called SeaWorld about the surfing seal pup. They sent a team to check on it, and they tell reporters that the pup appears to be an orphan, but healthy and old enough to care for itself. Domino's will soon be delivering your pizza with an address. The pizza chain is launching anywhere delivery on its app and will allow you to order your food by dropping a pin. The company says in release that it will be great to use during the summer when people head to the beaches and parks, where providing an exact address could be difficult. Customers will be able to track their order's location and get text alerts about their delivery. An all-electric Cadillac Escalade IQ will be formally introduced by General Motors in August. The automaker says the unveiling will be in New York for the luxury SUV, which is being built by GM's Factory Zero in Detroit. GM released details about the vehicle last month and promised this version will have the same craftsmanship, technology, and performance as its gas-powered model. GM is also building the GMC Hummer EV and the Chevrolet Silverado EV at Factory Zero. A friend of mine loves eating croutons straight out of the bag. What's your strange snack? You can hit me with Freddie Bell Radio on Instagram. And here are four things that you probably didn't know. It's time to upgrade your IQ. Number one, if you looked at one star per second, it would take you over 3,000 years to look at all the stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Number two, the youngest pope was 11 years old. In 2008, a Los Angeles woman filed a lawsuit claiming she flew off a Victoria's Secret thong and struck her in the eye. The lawsuit was dismissed. And finally, number four, avocados are a fruit, not a vegetable. On the lighter side of the desk, I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
One out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud. The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations. Join the fight at NEFA.org.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity.
And welcome, Libel. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm hanging in there, and every time we talk, I learn so much. And I was going to ask you this last episode, but we kind of ran out of time. We talked about, you know, people that do insurance and people that have these particular retirement planning, ABCD alphabet after their name. One thing when I think of you, I think of educator. I really do, because I think it's part of your mantra. You want to educate people so they know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Education is a big part. My goal really is to help 1 million people retire with financial security. And I can't do that one-on-one, right? You got to do that in mass. And the biggest thing that I can do is shine a light on all of the crevices of our industry and really like show people, you know, it ain't as complicated as people want to make it out to be. And, you know, you can't get something free for nothing. And it's, you know, it's pretty simple when you come down to it. You just need to understand the rules.
All right, here we go. Three easy ways investors can reduce their tax bill. You got us hooked. But before we dive into how to save money on taxes, first and foremost, part of the education process, is this ethical? It just sounds one of those wait a minute label. Is this too good to be true? Come on.
I do get this question quite a bit. Is it ethical to not pay your taxes? And I am going to give you two answers to that. One is every citizen has an obligation to pay their fair share of taxes. However, like Benjamin Franklin, as he put it, right, you have a legal obligation, an ethical and moral obligation to pay your fair share of taxes and not a penny more. The tax code is set up in such a way as to incentivize the behaviors that our country as a whole want to have happen. It is part of the reason why the American economy, right, and the United States, that our economy and our contribution to the global economy has been as much as it has been. We make up, you know, I think it's like less than 10% of the world population, but we make up 24% of the global economy. And we've been the little engine that could for the last 70 years, longer, really. And the reason why is because our tax code is very good about moving money around in our economy to the places where it can do the most good, and it can continue to grow our economic engine, right? And continue to grow our economy. And by doing that, we contribute to the world wealth, and we uplift the rest of the world and the standard of living really for everyone. But in order to do that, we need to incentivize people to invest in industries that they ordinarily wouldn't invest in, and to do behaviors that they ordinarily wouldn't do. And the way we do that is by giving them an economic incentive. And that's what the tax code is about. So when you think about, okay, how do I pay the least amount of taxes possible? The answer is how do I help the United States grow as an economy as much as possible? And the way you do that is by looking at the tax code and seeing what the tax code says to do. And this is one of the reasons why the tax code changes every few years, because Congress gets together and says, well, you know, we want to incentivize, you know, green energy, or we want to incentivize home ownership, or we want to incentivize people to have more kids, or whatever it is. And every few years, it's changing.
You know, you're making me want to pay my taxes. Stop it. All right. So let's get into it. What are these ethical ways we can reduce our taxes in retirement?
So the ways that we can ethically reduce our taxes in retirement, like I said, is by putting it to work in ways that benefit our economy, right? Or benefit our nation as a whole, right? So during our working years, one of the biggest incentives that we have, or the few big incentives we have, right? Buy a house. You buy a house, you get deductions for that. You get to, you know, write off your mortgage interest, all that kind of stuff. You get married. Huge financial interest in getting married, right? Because you're all of a sudden, your tax bracket doubles, right? You get all of these, your standard deduction doubles, right? You go from having $14,000 of excluded earnings, right, that you can earn and not pay taxes on, that goes up to $28,000 and is constantly growing because it's adjusted for inflation. Having children, right? The government will give us money off of our tax bill just for having kids, paying for them, you know, to go to childcare. Why do they want to pay for childcare expenses? One, that gives a job to someone else, but it also means that we get to work longer. We get to work in a job where we're spending more time and using more of our energy, which contributes to the economy. Other ways that you might not think about, right? Saving for retirement. You save for retirement, you get a deduction up front, right? You get to take that right off the top from your, you know, taxable income. But come retirement time, you are going to pay that as income tax. So one of the biggest ways when we are in retirement, or one really from the time that we separate from employment till the time that we reach age 75. And so for many people, that's sometime in their 60s, where they start going, you know, part time, or they, you know, go, you know, they completely retire till age 75. When they have to start taking those required minimum distributions, there's this golden period where they get to control their income. They get to control how much of their income is taxable. And by doing that, right, we have a 0% tax bracket where you earn money and you don't have to pay taxes on it. We have a 10% tax bracket and 12% tax bracket. We have these very low tax brackets where if you do Roth conversions at that point, you pull it out. You pay your taxes on it, right? But you're paying it on your terms, not on Congress's terms. Because if you don't do it, they're going to tell you, turn 75, you're going to have to start draining that account at the speed and time of their choosing. And it's designed to deplete your account during your lifetime. So there will be a time when you're in your 80s or your 90s and you're paying, you know, you're pulling out 25, 30, 40% of your account value. And guess what? That's you're going to be bumping yourself up into one of the highest tax bracket, possibly higher than you've ever been in your entire life. So you want to yes, pay taxes, but you want to do it on your terms. Another way to save on taxes, right, is capital gains, right? Do tax loss harvesting. When the market goes down, convert that money from your retirement account into, your brokerage account or into a Roth account, right? Pay taxes, but when the market is down, right? So you're paying it on a smaller value. Or if you have a brokerage account that's not a retirement account, you can harvest those losses to offset your gains when you do have them. There are lots of nuances to the tax code. It is constantly changing, but if you put your mind to it, you can definitely reduce your taxable income and the amount of taxes you're paying to the lowest amount possible. It may not be zero, but you can get as close to zero as possible.
You touched on it. It's a new term. I haven't heard it before. Tax loss harvesting. Real quick again, go over that because I think I got it, but I'm not sure. And I don't know if our listeners completely got it either.
Yeah. So tax loss harvesting is the idea of that when we have losses in our portfolio, right? The market goes up and down. The market is a roller coaster ride, right? We know that there's going to be times when it's up and there's going to be times when it's down. And when it's down, it's just relative, right? It's relative to when we bought it. So when the market goes down and we see, a $10,000 loss in our account, to me, I'm like, I get excited. I'm like, I know the market's going to recover. I know my money is going to go back up, but I can now sell that, invest that money into something else that I know that's, it's not the same thing, but it's something that will have the same upside.
Real quick, when you say invest in something else, does it have to be something similar or it can be something completely different?
It can be completely different. It just can't be, the term that the IRS uses is substantially similar. So, let's say I own the S&P 500. I can't go, from Vanguard to iShares S&P 500, but I could go from, an S&P 500 value to an S&P 500 growth. Right.
Okay. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I can go from doing, an S&P 500 to the individual sectors. Right. So I'm still owning the S&P 500. I just have it in 10 positions instead of one position. And in doing that, I know that when the market recovers, I'm going to still get that same recovery. So this 10,000 loss is really a paper loss. But by harvesting it, by selling it and realizing that loss, it now shows up on my tax return. And by showing up on my tax return, $3,000 of that can offset my ordinary income, right? So whether that's Social Security or my required minimum distributions or my Roth conversions or my salary, right? It can $3,000 of that can offset it. But the other thing is, when I have gains in my account and I'm selling them so that I can live off of, or I have that property, right? We talked a few episodes back about real estate. Well, when I sell that real estate and I have those capital gains, that can be offset by these capital losses that I am harvesting. Now, here's a caveat, right? Tax loss harvesting, there's a bunch of rules and nuances that you make sure that you follow the rules that Congress has laid out, that the IRS has laid out, in order to do it right, but it is an extremely effective tactic for reducing your taxable income, regardless of when you are, what your tax bill. So I highly suggest it. And I highly suggest that you start looking at ways that you can change your lifestyle and the decisions that you make so that they're tax efficient. There's lots of ways of doing the same thing, but switch dividend income, right? A lot of people like buying dividend stocks or dividend ETFs. Well, you probably shouldn't hold those in your brokerage account. You want to have those in your retirement account so that you're not paying taxes on that. I don't know how many times I see people and they're paying, thousands of dollars in taxes because they're holding it in the wrong account. So you want to make your portfolio and your lifestyle and the financial decisions you make, you want to make them as tax efficient as possible.
Obviously we're talking about taxes and saving on taxes. And I want to get your real quick thoughts, if you don't mind me going off into left field here real quick, about you have your tax person and you have your financial planner and they don't know each other.
Yeah.
And now you go to your tax planner and you go to your tax preparer, I should say, and it's basically you're exhuming the body.
Yeah.
And so the things like tax loss harvesting, that would never come up when you drop off your taxes somewhere at a tax preparer. So what would you say to people as far as possibly putting those two people in the same building or something like that? They should know each other, correct?
Yeah, you want your financial advisor, and really what you want is you want someone who's going to be a tax planner, right? Or a tax advisor. And a lot of financial advisors are not allowed to give tax advice. So that's an important question to ask your advisor, right? Is, can you give me tax advice? And then number two is, are you always acting as a fiduciary and in my best interest? Because if they answer no to either of those, right, then you should probably find yourself a new financial advisor, because if they can't give you tax advice, then they're leaving money on the table, right? And oftentimes people can make more money saving on taxes than they can in the market, right? At least in retirement. So that's number one. And number two, if they can't say that they're a fiduciary all the time, that means that there's some times when they're putting their interest first, right? It may be aligned with yours, but it means that they can switch hats, and they don't necessarily have to tell you which hat they're wearing. So when it comes to, you know, taxes and your tax preparer, right, understand that their job is to look at what you've done and find all the things that you qualify for, but they're not going to tell you this is the behaviors you should do moving forward so that you save more money next year. That's generally what my job is as a, you know, tax advisor, as a financial planner who specializes in taxes, as being an enrolled agent with the IRS, right? I constantly am looking at ways of how do we change our behaviors so that we save money moving forward.
So we can go Ben Franklin on the bit.
Yeah, you want to go Ben Franklin. You want to pay your fair share of taxes because that's your civic duty, but you don't want to pay a penny more.
That's true. That's the label. That's all the time we have left. You can join us next week as we explore ways to reduce taxes again when you finally sell that home or property. We're going to be talking more about real estate. That's next time right here.
All right, he's Label Sternbach. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Label's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number 4, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. It happened this week. I'm Freddie Bell. In 1937, Chester Greenwood, the inventor of the earmuffs, died at the age of 78. Yes, the inventor of the earmuffs. He invented them when he was at age 15. In 1946, a bikini bathing suit made its public debut during a fashion show in Paris. It was created by Louis Reard. In 1947, Larry Doby became the first black baseball player in the American League. When he suited up for the Cleveland Indians, he played 13 seasons in the majors. In 1954, Elvis Presley recorded That's All Right and Blue Moon of Kentucky for Sam Phillips and Sun Records. In 1989, The Seinfeld Chronicles was televised as a pilot on NBC. In 1994, Amazon.com was founded by Jeff Bezos from his garage in Washington. The site was originally an online marketplace for books, but has since expanded to include a multitude of product categories and is now a multi-billion dollar company. And in 2002, Baseball Hall of Famer Ted Williams died at the age of 84. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And so he got the only job he could with a local farmer who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Now remember, Jesus tells a story in a Hebrew community. So you can't get any lower in their culture than to be one who feeds pigs. The young man was so hungry that pig slop started to look pretty good. because nobody was providing for him. He had nothing. And in his starvation, in his lack, in his being lost, suddenly he came to himself. Isn't that a wonderful turn of phrase? When we come to ourselves, we would say now in unity, when we realize our truth, who we are in truth, who we are as God's creation. And the young man said, I'll go home. I'll return to my father. He has a tremendous number of employees to run his estate. They never go hungry. They have shelter, and all their needs are met by my family. I will go home, and I will confess before my father. I have wasted the inheritance you gave me. We might say I have not properly used the talents you created within me. It's all become waste, and so I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But if you would just treat me as one of your well-cared-for employees, give me a job, let me work, at least I won't starve. So he set off on his journey home. And when he was coming over that horizon, kind of, if you remember the great movie Gone with the Wind, when Leslie was coming home and Scarlett saw him from the porch of the house, far off, and they begin running and the music becomes dramatic and they run to each other to embrace. Well, Jesus invented that scene first. The son was coming down the road and the father saw him way off. The father was filled with love and compassion and joy. The father ran down the road to greet him. He didn't stand there at the front door of the house. He ran as fast as an old man can to greet and welcome his son who had been lost. And then he called his servants and said, bring the best cloak and put it upon him. Bring a fine ring and put it upon his finger. And prepare the fatted calf that we can feast tonight, for my son who was lost has come home. Well, if you remember that story, there's a little backstory to it. That older brother. The older brother refused to go in to the party room. He stood outside moping. The father went out to see him and said, son, we're having a feast, a celebration, come in. And he said, no, dad, I have stayed on your estate my entire life. I have done everything you expected of me. I've worked hard. My brother takes his inheritance, runs off, spends it on loose women, as the phrase says in the Bible, lost it all, and comes home. And what do? You put the best clothes on him. You give him the family ring and crest. And then you slay an animal that there might be a great feast. You've never even given me a little old goat to roast for a party with my friends. And then the father replies, you've always been with me. You've always been loyal. You've always done the very best for me. But remember, all I have is yours. if you would just ask. All I have is yours, if you would just ask. Which apparently, in workaholism, the older brother had never asked the source, his father, for a celebration. I've been there. I've been resentful. Struggled. Thinking to myself, that's not fair. But I never asked for help. I never asked for what I desired. How can the prodigious Father, the great one, the mighty one, provide for me when I don't even ask? Those of you that have studied Unity many years and our early great teachers like Emily Cady, the Fillmores, and others, they always stress the principle, in your relationship with the source of all good, demand must precede the manifestation. The demand must precede the manifestation. No demand, no manifestation of good. We have to ask. The older brother apparently never did. So in this story, Jesus illustrates the Heavenly Father and his greatness by that earthly prodigious Father who threw open his arms, ran down the road, met his son more than halfway, received him, loved him, provided new and greater good for him. Jesus was trying to get that across to people in his day, most of whom were not very wealthy and doubted that Yahweh, the God of their people, would even be mindful of one of them and their request. It was sort of like that older son. Well, God knows I need to eat. God knows I might have some dreams and desires. If he cares for me, maybe someday he might send a little stuff, a few goodies my way.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Time now for a bit of inspiration. Here's Freddie with this week's Words to the Wise. Words to the Wise.
Today I want to share a heartwarming story about my grandmother, a remarkable woman who served as a grounding force in my early life. Her ability to bring peace and clarity during times of confusion remains etched in my memory. We affectionately called her Big Mother, and whenever there was turmoil or unrest, she had a unique way of restoring harmony. It often began with a gentle hum, gradually building into a full-blown song, and without fail, her chosen melodies were spirituals. And while I may not have known all the words, I was captivated by the soothing beauty of her voice. One day, as Big Mother embarked on one of her soulful solos, I found myself unable to resist joining in. I mustered the courage to sing along, allowing the music to flow through me. When we reached the end of the song, she turned to me with a radiant smile. The moment was filled with warmth and joy as she embraced me, and we shared a heartfelt laugh. In that tender moment, Big Mother imparted a valuable lesson. She explained that she sang because she was happy, Her songs were an expression of her inner joy and an affirmation of her contentment. It was a profound realization that music has the power to uplift, to heal, and bring happiness to our lives. From that day forward, I noticed that Big Mother sang all the time, whether she was cooking in the kitchen, tending to her garden, or simply going about her day, her melodious voice would fill the air. Through her constant singing, she reminded us of the inherent joy that exists within us and encouraged us to embrace that happiness wholeheartedly. Today's Words to the Wise, let's sing a song. In the midst of life's challenges and uncertainties, let us remember the power of music to nourish our souls. Whether we know all the words or not, let the melodies guide us towards happiness and create a harmonious rhythm in our lives. So let's raise our voices, embrace the power of song, and find solace in this soothing embrace. For in those musical moments, we connect with our own inner joy and create a symphony of unity and love.
Words to the Wise.
That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.